Hello and welcome to KBIA's Talking Politics. I'm Ryan Famuliner. Coming up later in the show, we'll hear from political science professor Terry Smith with his take on the Democratic National Convention and some reaction from his students, many of whom will be voting for the first time this year. But first, farm groups are demanding a new farm bill from Congress. The current law expires at the end of the month, but an issue that goes beyond the farm is taking over the debate. The House and Senate are at odds over food stamps and how much help the government can afford to give. Grant Gerlach of Harvest Public Media reports.
Farmers and ranchers are watching Washington, wondering when a new farm bill will get passed. Political science professor John Hibbing at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln says food stamps used to help that deal get done.
The idea was not every district, not every state is involved heavily in agriculture, but probably almost every district, every state is involved in food stamp kinds of things. They have needy constituents.
This time, however, food stamps are getting in the way. Both the Democratic-controlled Senate and the Republican-controlled House would make cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. The version passed by the Senate would cut $4.5 billion over 10 years. The House is looking at cutting $16 billion. Supporters say the deep cuts from the House are needed to control spending, but critics feel it's wrong to make cuts when more people than ever are asking for help. Earlier this month, the U.S. Department of Agriculture reported that nearly 47 million people are on food stamps in the U.S. That's a record, and about 20 million more people than in 2007. Once a week in Lincoln, Nebraska, people having trouble affording enough to eat can come to the basement of Lakeview Methodist Church. A program called FoodNet does this across the city.
How are you feeling today? That's great.
Volunteer Sheila Rutt points out servings of leftovers from a hospital cafeteria served in takeout containers stacked on the kitchen counter.
Turkey tetrazzini, sweet and sour, vegetable.
Many of the people picking up food are like Margot Rush. She's 70 years old and lives on a fixed income of about $600 a month, which she says goes quickly.
Rent, electricity, my car, if I want to go anywhere, it takes gas.
Rush also gets another $65 each month in SNAP benefits. But to make her budget last, she still comes to FoodNet. With millions more Americans enrolling for food stamps in the last few years, House Republicans are questioning who qualifies. Here's why. From 2007 to 2011, the cost of the SNAP program more than doubled to nearly $78 billion a year. Catherine Bradley is a research fellow at the Heritage Foundation, which supports limiting SNAP spending.
Every time a state finds somebody to sign up for food stamps, they're reimbursed by the federal government. So the spending on the program continually goes up, 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 depending on how many people they find.
States are finding more people because of the recession and because of a change in the rules. Since 2002, states have had more options to enroll people with a little higher income or more assets to fall back on.
So a lot of people who've lost their jobs don't have an income, but they still have a whole lot of assets. A lot of people are being signed up for food stamps who otherwise wouldn't normally be eligible.
To make sure people first spend what they have, the House Farm Bill would reinstate the basic federal limits for food stamps back to families with less than $2,000 in assets and with incomes under 130% of poverty, which is about $2,400 a month for a family of four. So while the House cuts would save billions in the budget, the Congressional Budget Office estimates nearly 2 million people would lose their food stamps. Dorothy Rosenbaum says that would push more people into poverty. Rosenbaum is a policy analyst at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, which advocates for expanding SNAP eligibility.
It primarily helps recently unemployed families who don't have to spend down their assets before they can access food assistance, and also senior citizens who may be on a fixed income and have modest assets squirreled away for a rainy day that they would have a difficult time replenishing.
This is the debate that's holding up the farm bill, and it ties into a larger debate happening in the current election over the deficit and how to help the middle class. Now, the fact is, the farm bill is so large that whether the Senate cuts $4 billion from SNAP or the House cuts $16 billion, either way, about 80% of the farm bill would still help poor Americans buy food. I'm Grant Gerlach, Harvest Public Media.
Now we'll hear again from Terry Smith, a regular contributor to Talking Politics. This week, the Democratic National Convention.
I asked students in my American Political Parties class at Columbia College if President Obama's acceptance speech was a success and if it changed their minds about him. Of the six who sought the bonus points, four went in supporting Obama and none changed their mind. Most comments were about the emotional power of the speech and how good a public speaker he is. The criticisms were the lack of specifics. One was very positive despite her feeling that he had made little progress on his promises from 4 years ago. Both students who did not support Obama still do not. One admires his speaking ability but disagrees with most of his stands on the issues. She complained that it's the same speech he's given for the last 4 years. Worn out cliches was about the kindest thing the other one said about the speech. I tend to agree with most of my students' comments. It was a good speech, strong on emotive content, lacking a lot of specifics, a fairly mainstream Obama stump speech, an activity at which he excels. He pushed plenty of the populist buttons. His biggest applause line was, predictably, "Osama bin Laden is dead." One of my students noticed, as did I, that a number of delegates were curiously disengaged at times. He did leverage his status as incumbent, as well he must. I have waxed nostalgic during the last 2 weeks. The first convention I recall was the Democrats in 1956, when conventions were covered gavel to gavel on all three television channels. Yep, if you didn't like ABC, CBS, or NBC, you were out of luck. I watched the 1968 Democratic Convention and was thunderstruck when Senator Abraham Ribicoff of Connecticut used his speech to accuse the mayor of Chicago, the host city, of using Gestapo tactics to deal with protesters, to which Mayor Daley replied, "It didn't take much lip-reading," with words that the Federal Communication Commission still will not allow on the air, even in these permissive times. On the split screen was The Battle of Grant Park, the late 60s version of reality TV. Ah, the good old days. It was all quite amazing. The Democrats lost in 1968, changed their nomination rules, and conventions have been sort of boring since. When big news in the run-up to the 2012 Democratic Convention is Barack Obama's recipe for home brew, you know things have gotten pretty tame. So where are we in the campaign, after the conventions and before the debates? It feels like Obama is ahead and that it is his election to lose. Barring a scandal or Todd Aiken-scale gaffe, Obama is in pretty good shape. There is one potential serious obstacle in his path, however, and I'll talk about that in a future commentary. This is Terry Smith.
That's it for Talking Politics this week. I'm Ryan Famuliner. Thanks for listening.